Morning. First reading is going to be from Colossians, and this is Colossians 1, 11 through 20. May you be made strong with all the strength that comes from his glorious power, and may you be prepared to endure everything with patience, while joyfully giving thanks to the Father, who has enabled you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has rescued us from the power of darkness and transformed us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him all things in heaven and on earth were created, things visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or powers, all things have been created through him and for him. He himself is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him God was pleased to reconcile him to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of his cross. Second reading will be from Luke 23, 33 through 43. When they came to the place that is called the Skull, they crucified Jesus there with the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. Then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they cast lots to divide his clothing. And the people stood by watching. But the leaders scoffed at him, saying, "He saved others. Let him save himself if he is the Messiah of God, his chosen one." The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, "If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself." There was also an inscription over him, "This is the king of the Jews." One of the criminals who were hanged there kept deriding him, saying, "Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the others rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed have been condemned justly, for we are getting what we deserve for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus replied, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." The image of the invisible God, before all things, creating all things holding together in him. Glorious power. He has rescued us from the power of darkness. Jesus, God's anointed one, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, Jesus, the Emperor of the universe, in whom all things cohere. Glorious power. He's rescued us and transferred us into a new kingdom, one with foundations that will never fail. In him, God is pleased to reconcile all things to himself, making peace through the blood of his cross. The blood of his cross, where Jesus was crucified with criminals. The blood of his cross, where Jesus was mocked and whipped and humiliated before Jews and Romans alike. He made peace by the blood of his cross, as he was mocked by leaders and soldiers and even other condemned criminals who are being crucified with him. Glorious power. I've heard the story of Jesus so many times that I've gotten used to it. I mean, we've all heard the story since we were kids, just by living in this country. We know this. We know about that Jesus was nailed to a cross. We know that the King of Israel, the Savior of the world, was executed in this way. So believe it or not, This is a normal idea. But can it be normal? Can I really grasp what this means? For the image of the invisible God to be stripped and beaten and tortured and mocked and publicly murdered, all the while saying, "Forgive them, Father, for they do not know what they are doing." Glorious power. On the cross, Christ is enthroned. In his suffering, he demonstrates God's power. By the blood of his cross, he defeats the power of sin and death and the devil. He makes peace, and he prepares for us a place in the new kingdom. This is what God looks like in human form. When John says, "For God so loved the world," this is the love he's talking about. If we want to know what real power looks like, the author of Colossians says, "Don't look up to the thrones, look down to the cross." He says, "May you be made strong with the strength that comes from his glorious power." This is the power that allows us to endure everything with patience while joyfully giving thanks to God. Power as patience, power as endurance, power as bearing the hatred and violence of the world while blessing those who curse. Glorious power. Like I say, it's one thing to accept the story as fact, to acknowledge that Jesus lived and died this way. But it's another to entirely process that this is what God's kingship looks like. This is what real might and majesty consists of, making peace by the blood of his cross. And this is nothing like what I imagine power to be like. If you walked up to me on the street, not in a church context, said, "Michael, what's power?" I probably wouldn't describe being nailed to a cross. In the world I live in, the world I see around me, power is about doing unto others before they do unto you. Power is about being on top. Power is about imposing your will rather than having others impose their will on you. Yet Paul writes in his first letter to the Corinthians, in that famous passage we hear at weddings a lot, that love bears all things. It believes all things. It hopes all things. It endures all things. And how can that be? Because the love he's talking about is Jesus. Glorious power. The image of the invisible God, making peace by the blood of his cross. How does one make peace by surrender? How does one conquer a kingdom by love? How does one defeat an enemy through forgiveness? And I'm not speaking rhetorically when I say, I don't understand this. I don't get it. This is not the world as I know it, the world I'm used to, the world I live in when I walk out down the sidewalk. This is not the way of Berkeley or the United States of America or planet Earth as I know it. But we have on good authority that this is the way of God. That in Jesus we have a faithful image of what real authority, real justice, real love, and real power looks like. He's the crucified king, the suffering servant, the peacemaker with nails in his hands and feet. Glorious power. Do we want to participate in this power? Do we seek to embrace the way of the cross? despite just how incredible it seems, so different from the way of the world around us. When we meet Jesus at the foot of the cross, we realize what a radically different and a radically dangerous kingdom that God is calling us into. Great power, joy, and genuine peace, but also great risk. Not just metaphorical and psychological risk, but in a world of violence and selfishness and fear, we face the real risk of being met with the same response that Jesus received. This is why Paul encourages us in his letter to the Colossians, writing that we share in the inheritance of the saints in the light. He reminds us that God has rescued us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of our sins. We share in the inheritance. We share in the peace that comes from the blood of his cross. We share in the glorious power, laying down our swords, taking up our cross, crying out to God on behalf of our enemies, sincerely and with the compassion of Jesus. Forgive them, Father, for they do not know what they are doing.